It was less than 2 weeks ago that Gomery released his second report on the ad scam affair. It was weeks after Stephen Harper's Conservative Party elected a minority government when many voters claimed that they needed to punish the Liberals for their dishonesty. And throughout the election, Harper campaigned for a more honest and accountable government and criticized the Liberal record. This week in politics has been a different story. The new Conservative cabinet was sworn in Monday. Vancouver Kingsway MP David Emerson, a Liberal cabinet minister who had criticized Harper's Conservatives during the election campaign and appeared in advertisements claiming that electing a Liberal government was the right choice, was appointed to the Conservative cabinet. There was also the appointment of Michael Forte to the Senate and as a Minister of Public Works and Government Services, even though he is unelected and a Conservative Party organizer. Gordon O'Connors, a lobbyist for defense industry companies up until February of 2004, was appointed Minister of Defense. Democracy Watch is an Ottawa-based, nonprofit, nonpartisan citizens advocacy organization that focuses on democratic reform, government, and corporate accountability in Canada. Democracy Watch announced it will make a complaint to the Ethics Commissioner, Bernard Shapiro, about Emerson's appointment. And I'm joined this morning by Duff Conacher of Democracy Watch. Good morning, Duff.
Good morning, Lorraine.
A lot of people are shaking their heads this week when David Emerson showed up to be sworn in as a cabinet minister in the Conservative government. What's the nature of your complaint to the Ethics Commissioner?
We haven't filed the complaint yet, but it's based on the ethics rules. David Emerson was a Liberal cabinet minister when he decided to become a Conservative cabinet minister. And there's a cabinet ethics code, and then there's a separate ethics code for MPs. Both contain essentially the same rules, and the one requirement is, to quote from the code, that you act with honesty. And the second requirement is that you, as an MP or a cabinet minister, maintain the highest ethical standards in a way that will enhance the public's confidence and trust in the integrity of yourself as an MP, and in the integrity of the government overall. And for David Emerson to run as a Liberal cabinet, as a Liberal candidate, and then 2 weeks later switch, especially for the reward of maintaining his power and extra pay and extra perks that cabinet ministers receive, and switch to the Conservatives, is obviously not acting honestly. And from the response across the country, doesn't seem to have done much to enhance the public's confidence in the integrity of the government.
Emerson's own explanation is that he did it for his constituents, and that he had run his campaign as a nonpartisan, and that he won on his own merits. If that was indeed the case, shouldn't he have run as an independent?
Well, first of all, he didn't run as a nonpartisan campaign. He made several statements, including that he would be the worst enemy of Stephen Harper after the election. And here he is, his best buddy and cabinet colleague. So the response as well to the reaction to his switching has also been dishonest, I believe. And Stephen Harper's response has been the usual lame excuses. So it's been politics as usual from Stephen Harper, and hypocrisy as well, as a Conservative Party leader, because he criticized less than a year ago Belinda Stronach for switching in return for a cabinet post. And he was the one who actually asked David Emerson to switch in return for a cabinet post. So I think even their reactions are in violation of the code, because it's just the same kind of politics as usual lame excuses that really are dishonest in their core. But beyond that, this is a situation. I mean, David Emerson's really acting like he's a prince of some state, and King Stephen has approached him and said, this would be the best thing for your region to join with me. And there seem to be forgetting that we actually have a thing called voters in Canada who elect people and give them their jobs. They're not handed down from above. They're not royalty that have inherited these positions. And it's not up to them, and in fact, it's a complete violation of voters' rights to just be switching and saying, well, I'm thinking of my voters. I mean, it's a very royalty-type attitude, as if the voters are just plebes who don't know what's best for them.
Now, David Emerson said last night that he was not going to step down and run in a by-election. What kind of recourse do voters have when their votes are used to elect someone who immediately joins and governs with a party that they chose not to vote for and who the candidate actually opposed during the election?
Well, unfortunately, despite Canada being 139 years old as a country, politicians have not taken the time to close many gaps in terms of their accountability when they are dishonest or unethical or secretive or wasteful. And that's because they set all the rules themselves. So there's no means to recall a politician at the federal level. There is no honesty in politics law. There is the code, as I mentioned, that requires honesty, but it doesn't have the force of law with a penalty such as having to resign if you break your promises or you are dishonest with voters. And so the only avenue that we believe is open is to file the ethics complaint. The ethics commissioner, unfortunately, is not someone who Democracy Watch believes is competent and has a very weak attitude towards enforcement. Democracy Watch actually has challenged the ethics counselor in court, and that's an ongoing court challenge. Because the ethics counselor is not enforcing the rules properly, in our view. And so we have to go that route, though, with the ethics commissioner. He can't penalize David Emerson at all. All he can do is find him guilty of breaking the code. The penalty is up to the prime minister. And, of course, the prime minister is unlikely to penalize David Emerson, given that he's the one that brought David Emerson into cabinet under this arrangement. So that's the way it is, unfortunately, with government accountability, especially at the federal level and in a few of the provinces. Some provinces are better than others. In BC, in a provincial election, there is a measure for recalling someone that's been elected in a BC provincial election. And there's also a part of the election law in BC is that the candidates cannot make false, dishonest statements during election campaigns. So if it was a provincial election, there would be more that could be done about David Emerson. But federally, those gaps still exist in the government accountability system.
Now, what are the ethical implications of Harper's decision to appoint a former military lobbyist, Gordon O'Connor, to the defense portfolio?
Well, this is actually another aspect, too, of David Emerson's situation. He was with a company that Canfor that was lobbying the federal government, registered to lobby. He wasn't registered personally. We believe that David Emerson also cannot act on the softwood lumber file, which is actually the main reason, according to the Conservatives and Stephen Harper, that he was brought on board and invited to join the Conservative cabinet. With Gordon O'Connor, he is a former lobbyist for many defense industry companies as well. Just less than 2 years ago, he had 8 clients, almost all in the defense industry. And now here he is, defense minister, and the Conservatives have pledged to spend a lot on military hardware as part of their election platform. And so we believe that he could very easily face ongoing conflicts of interest, and that, again, Stephen Harper sent a very bad message and really shot himself in the foot on government ethics with that appointment of Gordon O'Connor as defense minister.
Are there adequate regulations in place to ensure ethical and accountable practices with respect to lobbyists and their influence on government decisions?
There are adequate rules, but the rules have never been enforced. That's why we have the ethics commissioner in court, because he is, we believe, not enforcing the rules properly. There is a lobbyist ethics code as well. But the person who enforces that, called the Registrar of Lobbyists, is completely under the control of the cabinet. And, of course, when lobbyists get into trouble in terms of ethics, it's usually in relationship to cabinet ministers. But this enforcer of the lobbyist ethics code is under the control of cabinet ministers. So we have also, Democracy Watch has an ongoing court challenge of that registrar for improper enforcement and lack of independence We do not believe that he can fairly and impartially and effectively uphold those rules, because if he did so, the cabinet could fire him just for doing his job. So it's a bad situation, and the rules are fairly strong. They require the highest ethical standards. They require that everyone go beyond what's required in Canadian law in order to, again, enhance the public's trust and confidence in the integrity and the impartiality and objectivity of government. Those are the actual words in the codes. But the rules haven't been enforced, and the reason they're not being enforced is because politics would have to change if these rules were enforced. These codes are really set a very high standard, and a lot of the things that go on right now are illegal under the codes, but there's just no effective way to stop them because the codes aren't enforced.
I want to turn to a third appointment that Stephen Harper made. He appointed Michael Forte, who is a non-elected politician, to a critical cabinet post of Public Works, and he also at the same time made him a senator. What do you make of that situation there?
Again, pure hypocrisy on the part of Stephen Harper. He criticized, again, less than a year ago, Paul Martin, when he was Prime Minister, for appointing Dennis Dawson and Francis Fox to the Senate. Dennis Dawson and Francis Fox were Liberal Party campaigners who helped Paul Martin in terms of election when he became Prime Minister and his campaign for the Liberal leadership. Dennis Dawson was active on that. And Stephen Harper was very critical of Paul Martin for making those patronage crony appointments to the Senate. And then he goes ahead and does the same thing on his very first day as Prime Minister and appoints a Conservative Party organizer who helped him get into power as Prime Minister, appoints him to the Senate. Again, offers the same lame type of excuse, saying, oh, it's just a temporary appointment, he'll run in the next election, and also violates the spirit of his promise to move towards elected senators. And that's what they said as part of their platform. Part of the whole issue of accountability and the extensive package that the Conservatives pledged on accountability and pledged as the first thing they would do is increase the accountability standards if they were elected.
Now, I understand that the Prime Minister has made some changes to the Cabinet Ethics Code. What do we know about those changes?
Well, part of their accountability package was to close some of the loopholes in the Cabinet Ethics Code. And it looks like, so far, the loopholes have been left open. The Prime Minister Harper introduced a new code on Monday as he introduced his cabinet, and they haven't highlighted the new code that much in news releases and things like that, I think mainly because a lot of the promises he made seems to have been broken. Now, maybe they'll make the changes further when they come in with their full legislation, the Federal Accountability Act that the Conservatives have pledged to pass. But so far, one of the loopholes he left open is a loophole that allows ministers to be involved in issues that affect their business interests. And it seems to me that he left that loophole open so that David Emerson could be active on the softwood lumber file, because David Emerson, as far as we know, has an ongoing pension with Canfor, the forestry company he was with before, and therefore he has a financial interest in Canfor, and that creates a direct conflict of interest. But under this loophole that actually Paul Martin introduced, he's allowed to be involved in, believe it or not, he's allowed to be involved in handling issues that affect his financial interests. And Stephen Harper pledged to close that loophole very clearly. And in the new code that he introduced on Monday, the loophole is still there. He also pledged to allow the public to file complaints with the Ethics Commissioner. Instead, in the new code, it says the public can bring information to the attention of an MP, but the MP has to file the complaint. That's not keeping the promise of allowing the public to file complaints directly. He also pledged to close a loophole that right now means that if someone works part-time for a minister, they're not covered by the ethics code at all. And in the new code, part-timers are still not covered by the ethics code at all. So that is another loophole that he seems to have left open. We're still analyzing exactly all the details of the code. and trying to get a response, as are a couple of members of the media, trying to get a response from the Prime Minister's office as to whether this is it, or are they going to make further changes to close these loopholes that they promised to close. The response, I know one reporter has been waiting now 4 days for a response from the Prime Minister's office to questions about these loopholes.
Now, before
they seem to be stonewalling.
Before the election, Duff, you analyzed the party stated policies on ethics and honesty in politics, and the Conservatives actually came out on top with their proposed Federal Accountability Act, which you've mentioned a number of times. I guess this week they've kind of proved how much that act is needed, and I'm wondering what you think it's going to take to hold their feet to the fire on this one.
Well, the headline in our news release about our government accountability platform report card was the Conservatives have the best grade, the NDP bloc and the Greens are close behind, but the lack of an honesty in politics law means that no one should trust any of the party's promises. And we still have that gap. We have this rule in the ethics code that you need to act with honesty, you're required to act with honesty, but there's no effective penalty, and again, the enforcement system is still a sham for that ethics code and for cabinet members and the separate code for MPs. We really need an honesty in politics law, because it's clear that we've now switched parties, conservatives to the liberals in 93, and the liberals broke a bunch of promises on governing with integrity and increasing government accountability. And now the conservatives are back in power, although with a minority, and looks like they're breaking promises left, right, and center as well on the issue of government accountability. So the honesty in politics law is the lack of an honesty in politics law is the fatal flaw in the government's accountability system. And it looks like the conservatives are practicing the usual bait-and-switch politics, where they baited people with good promises, and now they're in power, they're switching directions and breaking those promises, especially the promises in terms of increasing their own accountability. So it's going to be an ongoing fight. Democracy Watch has been pushing for 12 years to close about 70 loopholes in the federal government's accountability system. The Conservatives pledged to close 55 of those loopholes, but already they're breaking their promises. It's very sad, it's very hypocritical, and I think that voters are going to remember and punish the Conservatives at the next election if they do not act very soon to keep these promises.
Thanks for joining me this morning, Duff.
My pleasure. And if anyone wants to find out more information, our website is dwatch.ca, or they can call toll-free if they want to help us out with this push. It's 877-4-DEMOCRACY.
Thanks again.
Thank you very much for your interest.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Duff Conacher of Democracy Watch, and as he mentioned, their website is at dwatch.ca, and the number that he gave, 877-4-DEMOCRACY.